You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
And he said something while we're sitting there. He said, when you execute the slash, the objective is to take that weapon with that bayonet on the end and start cutting the enemy here and pull it all the way down to his stomach. He said, when you execute a jab, the objective is to take the bayonet, stick him in his stomach all the way up to the muzzle of the weapon, twist it, and pull his intestines out. The army doesn't have classes like that. The army says, walk up and shake his hand and offer him something out of your sea rats. But after we were done and we ran back to the squad bay, we were melancholy. The platoon had 17-year-old and 18-year-old recruits. There were about 77 of us. We ran back to the squad bay, and the senior drill instructor had served two tours of duty in Vietnam and won the Navy Cross. It's the second highest award that you can win in this country. The only one higher is the Medal of Honor. And he had us all stand in the squad bay, and he walked back and forth, and he made a statement that I will never forget. I will remember it even after Jesus comes to get me. He says, I know some of you signed up for your dress blues. And some of you signed up just to get away from home. He said, but we here are teaching you how to be a killer. That's your only function. You're being trained to kill. My world changed when I heard that man say that. To learn that I am being systematically taught how to kill. Changed my whole outlook. It took that boy off the street and changed his life when he realized his mission was to kill. In fact, the mission of the fire team is to close with and destroy the enemy. Now we get saved and we forget we're in a battle. We're trying to kiss the devil. Welcome him into our houses and into our lives with our words. He's sitting there listening to what you say. We have become wimps and punks in our spiritual application. And then we want the man or woman of God to cast the devil out. But according to the word of God, you and I ought to be so proficient in our spiritual weaponry that we cast him out before. Listen, by the time we get to church, we ought to be delivered. Not a one of you that's born again ought to be in here waiting to be delivered. If you are filled with the Spirit, you should have got delivered at home so you can come in here and release the praise that God. Oh, my God. Oh, Lord. Lord, have mercy. You see. Oh! Now, I know some of you are not born again, so you come in bound. But you are in the minority. You should not be able to kill our praise. We ought to make it so uncomfortable for you that you don't want to even stay in here. You got to go to the bathroom even while the choir is singing because you're around some powerful people who refuse to say it is what it is. Think what would happen if the woman with the issue of blood said it is what it is. No, sir. It is what I let it be. When I get around people of God, it is no longer what it is. It is what we say it will be. If two of us touch and agree, anything. We're in warfare. We're in warfare. I want to wake you up to the fact that you are in warfare. The devil isn't playing with you. He's trying to kill you. Let me tell you what he's trying to do. First, he's trying to depress you. Depress you by your situations in life. That's his jab to set you up. Have you looking at what you're going through and losing hope and causing you to feel that there's no way out? When you start feeling that way, know that the devil is jabbing you, setting you up for the next thing. After he gets you depressed, he starts taking away your praise. Now you don't even want to praise the Lord like you used to. When you come in church, you're just a bump on the log. And we know who you are, but God will plant you next to somebody who knows how to get their praise on because praise is contagious. After he steals your praise, then he comes in for the kill with depression and self-pity. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what to do. You need to be with somebody who'll slap you and say, get your butt together. You know good and well you're a child of God. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down. We are in a battle, and he looks for your weaknesses. Some of us have the weakness of the loss of control. When we can no longer control our environment, we lose all of our joy. But don't you know that God graduated you to the loss of control? Don't you realize how much of a promotion that is? I need somebody to understand what I'm saying. If there was a 3-year-old child standing here, they are in control of their environment. Because if they cry, you're going to come a running. If they're wet, you got to change them. If they're hungry, you got to feed them. And they let you know what they want and you respond. They are in control of their environment. But as we grow older, we learn that we are not in control. We learn that life doesn't belong to us. You think just because you're not in control that God is not with you. No, baby. He wants you to know at this point, I'm in control. Now you just give it to me and go on about your business. I need to use a secular phrase here. Go on about your business. Go to the movie and let me handle your business. Don't sit at home worrying and you up in the house, sitting in a dark house, up under your Snoopy blanket, feeling sorry for yourself. Take yourself out in the sunshine. Walk around and let God know this little thing ain't gonna move me. I'm not sitting around here crying about my situation. I'm full of the Holy Ghost. I got the Lord on my side. Goodness and mercy are following me. If the devil cannot stop you from the outside, he'll do it from the inside. All of us are in a war, but how you handle the war. You got to learn to laugh when you don't feel like it. You got to learn to look at idiots and pity them. They may be on top right now, but baby, your day is coming. David even says, people who say there is no God, they're a fool. Why are they a fool? Because one day, they're going to see him sitting up on a throne. And he's going to say, do you remember when you eat? Glory to God. I got to remember, we got first time visitors. I'll just be real theological. Do you remember when you said I did not exist? Do you remember when you said that Jesus was not Lord? Do you remember when you said Muhammad was greater than Jesus? Well, I'm going to send you to where Muhammad is. Yes, sir. Help delayed is not help denied. I wish I had some people. When are you going to realize that just because God did not answer now, it doesn't mean he ain't coming. He's setting you up for a greater miracle. Yeah, he, whoa! He could have delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt a long time ago, but he waited. He waited until they were so desperate that all they had was him. And the first thing he did was fight the gods that they had been exposed to. All the gods of Egypt that had been demonstrating their power over the children of Israel, God wiped all 10 of them out. Are you with me? Then the Bible says, when they finally came out of Egypt, he led them down to the Red Sea. There was no way out. Mountains to the right, mountains to the left, water in front, the Egyptians behind them. Here's what God said, I got you where I want you. What do you mean? I'm about to show you something. You didn't think I could do this, but I'm going to show it to you. They said, was it because there were no graves in Egypt, Moses, that you brought us out to die in the wilderness? He looked up at God and began to complain. God said, why are you calling me? What's in your hand? Ask your neighbor, what's in your hand? What's in your hand? What's in your hand? Ask somebody, what's in your hand? Well, I'm going to answer the question. Moses had a staff, but you got praise. I would that everybody would lift up holy hands. In your hands, in your hands, in your hands. He said, what's in your hand? Moses said, the stick you gave me. He said, stretch it out. Boop, boop, boop. Boop, 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 boop. He stretched it out, and a strong wind came, covered the water, but it took all night. It wasn't as quick as Cecil B. DeMille made it. It took all night because God wants you to know your deliverance is going to take a while. But while he's delivering you, this is the good part. The Bible said fire came between the children of Israel and the Egyptians. What does that mean? It means while God is delivering you, he ain't gonna let nobody else see it. You don't have to worry about people seeing your stuff. You hear me? God is protecting you. He is watching over you. And when that sea opened up, God went on ahead and made the ground dry. What does that mean? It means that when he delivers you, you won't have any mud on your feet to let people know where you've been. If you are really delivered of God today, nobody can see your past. There's no mud on your feet. We look at you now and you look good. But in the day, you know what you were. There ain't no mud on your feet. Rejoice that you got clean feet. Beautiful are the feet of those that publish the gospel. Your deliverance is so perfect. It is so perfect. The devil wants to take your mind off of it. He wants you always to sink back into the bondage of your past. I do believe that from a psychological perspective, you should talk about those things to help get that out of you so that you may confront it. But once it is exposed, you now take authority over it. You say, all right, that happened to me. Yes, that happened to me, but I ain't the same person. I need to know where my bitterness is coming from. I need to know where my unforgiveness is coming from. Now I've identified it, but I ain't the same person. Devil, you can't beat up on me anymore. I'm not that little child that's afraid of my own shadow. Now I'm full of the Holy Ghost, so take your best shot. I know what you're saying, devil. I know what you're saying. You wonder if I got off all my praise in church. You wondering, did he shoot off 5 or 6 praises? You say, devil, to be honest with you, I don't even know myself. But the question is, do you feel lucky? Do you, punk? Do you feel like challenging me when you don't know if I got a praise left? Do you want to come in my house and I will do what Teddy said? I'll close the door so that you can't get away. Because I still got one praise in reserve. One that I have not let out yet. One that's waiting for you to come and harass me. You think I gave them all out, but I got another one just waiting for you to come in. And that one is not eloquent. That one is not sadity. That one won't help need ushers to help me sit down. That one is victorious. That one brings down strongholds. That one pulls down walls. That one destroys. I'm in a battle. Do you have one left? Do you have one left? Do you have one left? The devil has been coming into your life, slipping in and slipping out, of his own free will. But I told you before, God speaks to me through movies. One of my favorite is Bronx Tale. There's a scene that these bikers come into Sonny's bar and they want some beer. And Sonny's man walks over, Jimmy Whispers. He walks over and says, guys, you're not dressed right. You gotta leave. They said, no, we just came in for some beer. Sonny walks over and says, what's the problem? They said, we just came in for some beer, and your man said we weren't dressed right, like our money ain't green. Sonny said, you just want a few beers. They said, yeah. He said, all right, you can have your beers and leave. They got the beers and started turning rowdy. Spritzed the beer all over the bartender because they had become accustomed to destroying bars. Sonny walked over and said, that was wrong. You guys got to leave now. He said, I'll tell you when we leave. Sonny walked away, shut the door, and locked it. Came back and said, now you can't leave. And his boys came in and beat the snot out of them bikers. Saints of God, the devil has been coming in and out of your house. You've been letting him in with self-pity. You've been letting him in with all that other natural junk. But I'm here to tell you to lock the door. Tell him, if you're coming in this house, this is a house of praise. What you're going to hear come out of my mouth is not, oh me, this is what it is, but thank the, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Somebody said, preacher, it don't take all that. You're not saved. Don't bother us. We don't mind if you're a sadiddy. God bless you. But don't get in my face. You don't know where he brought me from. Maybe he only brought you from around the corner. So your praise isn't around the corner praise. But I got some folk who were brought from the other side of the track. Some folk that were brought from another city. Some folks whose wounds are so deep that if it had not been for the Lord, they wouldn't be alive today. So we got a praise that you can't stop. And if our praise offends you, get out. For this is a place where the praise will roll like water. This is a place where the warfare is already decided. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6, Paul says in verse 12, for we wrestle, say wrestle. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. From the Living Bible, it says, last of all, I want to remind you that your strength must come from the Lord's mighty power that is in you. Do you see what's in you? Ask your neighbor, do you know what's in you? Glory to God. Ask somebody, do you know what's in you? Ow! Do you know how bad you are? The Bible says that when they reached Jericho, it said that Jericho was positionally the last stronghold before they entered into the promised land. And when Joshua sent the spies into the city, they heard the people talking about the power of the God of the Jews. And they were afraid. Even Jezebel with Ahab was afraid of Elijah. She didn't care nothing about Ahab, but she was scared of Elijah. Are you hearing me? The devil is afraid that one day you'll tap into the power that has been put in you. You're a bad... Shut your mouth. I'm just talking about Christians. We can dig it. We're the ones that won't cop out when there's danger all about. Christians, right on. They said those children of God are some bad. Shut your mouth. Everywhere they go, the anointing is there. Everywhere they go, angels are there. When you walk into a room, angels stand up. When you lay down at night, they take their post to watch over you. You are never by yourself. You're in a war. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand safe against the strategies and the tricks of Satan. We are not fighting against people. That person next to you is not your enemy. Stop letting them get the better of you. Hear me. It is not the person that is wrong. It is the spirit directing the person. The person is just yielding to that spirit. So when you fight with that person, you embolden that spirit, because they're saying, they don't even know it's me. But when you rebuke that spirit, you weaken the person. Let me show you. For we are not fighting against people made of flesh and blood, but against spirits, the evil rulers of the unseen world, those mighty satanic beings and great evil princes of darkness who rule the world, and against huge numbers of wicked spirits in the spirit world. Satan is a manipulator. If I can say it in these terms, he's a puppeteer. He manipulates people through events in their lives. Now, here you are, a blood-washed, spirit-filled child of God, and you're depressed. Now, I'm not denying your depression. I'm not. But the question is, why are you depressed? And you have more hope than anybody. Once again, it is what it is. Nah, Jesus says it is what you believe it to be.
We pray that you are blessed and encouraged by the message you heard today. To order today's message in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. When ordering, refer to the program title, Spiritual Warfare, or the program number, 0419P. If you'd like to download today's message or any other recent sermons from Bishop Lambert, visit ericlambertministries.com for the complete digital download. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can now be viewed nationally on the Impact Network on Sunday mornings at 7:30 a.m., Comcast Channel 294, and on the Word Network Monday evenings at 7:30 p.m. Be sure to visit BethelDeliverance.org to find out when to catch the Climbing Higher TV and radio broadcast in your area. For service times, location, and more information about Bishop Lambert and Bethel Deliverance International Church, go to our website at BethelDeliverance.org, follow us on social media through Facebook and Instagram, or contact us at 215-885-2585. Thank you for tuning in today. Keep climbing higher in the Word of God.
How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? Today's culture needs the impact of the Word of God, and those who are called are tasked with handling the Word carefully. If you are one of the called, we invite you to get equipped at the next Making of a Minister training session with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. and Pastor Brian Weatherspoon. You'll learn biblical and practical strategies for crafting sermons that are relevant to the body of Christ today. The Making of a Minister is taking place Saturday, June 15th at 10 a.m. at Bethel Deliverance International Church, located at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue in Wincote, Pennsylvania. Admission is free, but you must RSVP to attend. Call 215-885-2585 to register today. That's 215-885-2585, or visit BethelDeliverance.org for more information. Ministers, come and learn how to challenge the culture through substantial teaching from the Word of God. We'll see you there.